Please again get your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not sure if there are any more outlines, but you might want one in front of you. Just when some things are read, it could be hard to follow along. It might be more helpful to have an outline in front of you tonight. But we're going to consider the theme this evening of the several or the multiple blessings of relationship with Jesus Christ. The multiple blessings that we have by being in relationship with Jesus Christ. And our text tonight, which will bear that out, and you'll see it very quickly when we see when we read verse 30 together, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read just the first part of verse 26 and then jump down to the 30th verse because it's a thought here concerning our calling. Let's give our attention again tonight to God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and then verse 30. For consider your calling, brothers. And then down to verse 30. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we pray. Lord, we pray that as we come to your word tonight, that you would be pleased to pour out your Spirit and that you would work in this time here in this building with us, this few gathering of your people, that by and with your word, you might do work in our hearts. Please keep us from a dead hearing of your word, not a doing of it. Keep us from it, from being a people that have ears but we don't hear. We pray that you might work deeply in our lives this evening. Father, we pray that you would be pleased that by your word tonight, you might bring salvation to sinners. And that you would bring further sanctification to your saints. Do this for your glory, O God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The notion of salvation, when we hear about this idea of being saved, the notion of salvation in the modern Christian consciousness is often truncated at best. And frankly, most of the time, it is actually woefully wanting. In other words, what we think that we need from God and what God says we need from Him are rarely aligned in the church's message today. And therefore, salvation has become, frankly, a very odd thing in the modern evangelical church. It's become something that is hardly definable on one hand, but on the other, if one does attempt to define what is it, what does it mean to be saved? What is the church actually proclaiming? What are they saying that Jesus can actually do for me? When it is attempted, and a definition is attempted, most of the time it is merely presented and is thought of as something as banal as, well, we're offering you fire insurance. Or we're offering you a ticket to heaven when you die. But the biblical picture of salvation is much richer than this. And the 32nd question and answer of our shorter catechism, really what it does is it begins to expand our very limited vision. And it helps us to begin to appreciate and to see the glories of our salvation. Again, if you have that bulletin in front of you, it's going to be helpful. Listen to how our catechism articulates it. What, and every part of this is important, what benefits do they that are effectually called, that is, effectually called to Jesus Christ, what benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life? Answer, they that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from them. I want you to also see the proof texts that are given here to this question and answer, because they show the truth of this statement. They show that the Westminster Assembly was trying to mine God's Word and bring forth how could we summarize in a very succinct statement what those benefits of salvation are. Romans 8:30, and those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So why do we read in this answer one of the benefits that those who have been effectually called to Jesus Christ partake of in this life? One of those is justification. There it is, right there in Romans 8:30. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. There's adoption. And finally, again, the text we're in tonight, 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 30. For consider your calling, brothers. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I think just upon the reading of those three texts, you can see that this is a grand and a robust vision of salvation. And it can't escape us that this is also strikingly different. Strikingly different than the anemic, pie in the sky type of thing that passes for the message of modern Christianity today. And there's a couple very exciting things about true biblical redemption that we want to see tonight. In the next few weeks, Lord willing, each of these particulars, justification, adoption, and sanctification, we're going to spend an evening on each one of those in particular, unpacking the beauty of each one of those facets. Tonight, we want to sort of just see that this is a grand salvation. This is a full and a very vast salvation that we've become partakers of. But one of the first things we want to see tonight, and one of the most exciting things, really, of the benefits that we receive in Jesus Christ, is simply salvation is now. Salvation is now. The emphasis, as you can see there, in each of these passages. And the emphasis in this catechism question, it's right there, is on the benefits that we partake of in this life. In other words, what we partake of now as believers. This is a far cry from only thinking about salvation as something that kicks in. And salvation is only something that actually becomes real when you die. The biblical emphasis, as our text makes so clear, is that we are in Christ Jesus now, and that He is currently, and He has already now become our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Now, it is absolutely the case that the Apostle Paul, when treating the subject of the resurrection, he says, if it is only in this life that we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. There is a glorious not yet to our salvation, but what our text is so clearly saying, and what we are considering here particularly this evening, is that if we only think of salvation as being simply about not going to hell, or on the other hand, going to heaven when you die, we have yet to come to understand the glories of the Christian faith. We have yet to come to embrace and experience the blessing of the benefits of being now in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is not a matter, and this is kind of the crux of the issue. Salvation is not a matter of believing certain facts about Jesus Christ. He was a man that lived in Palestine. He's a guy who died on a cross. Christianity, and particularly salvation, is not merely about believing certain facts that somehow, if you simply give assent to those facts, I believe that there was a Jesus in Palestine. I believe that there was this Nazarene that was crucified on a cross. I assent to those facts, that somehow that gets you a ticket to paradise when you die. Oh, you believe the right things. You get to go to heaven. Rather, the biblical emphasis on what it really means to be saved is that you have yourself. You have come into a personal relationship with the living God by actually being united to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Salvation is not a litmus test on did you believe the right things. Belief in the right things is very important. But the crux of salvation is actually a relationship with the living God. At the end of time, Jesus will say or not say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. Are you in a living relationship with God now? You see, that life, that relationship begins now. Indeed, we could say it the other way. If there is no life now, if there is no living, active relationship now, then there will be no pie in the sky later. Hear me very clearly. The Bible knows nothing. The Bible knows nothing of a religion in which you hope that at the end of your life, your good works will outweigh your bad works. The Bible knows nothing of a religion that at the end of your life, you hope that God loves you. You hope you're okay with the man upstairs. The Bible knows nothing of a religion that at the end of your life, you hope you get let into heaven. You see, the Scriptures only tell. They only bear witness to a God and a Savior who calls sinners to Himself, who calls sinners into a living, active relationship with Him that begins now and then lasts on through all eternity. Your relationship with God does not begin when you die. Your relationship with God begins now, or it begins never. The second thing that we want to consider this evening, then, is that salvation is not one-dimensional. Salvation is not one-dimensional. I think that if we were to go out into the streets or even stand in front of churches on a Lord's Day morning and we polled, we took a survey of professing Christians today, that they would tell you that salvation is about Jesus forgiving you of your sin. I think that that would be a good answer. I think that that's something that we would hope to hear as we polled or surveyed professing Christians today. And while, though, this is indeed gloriously true, that Jesus saves us from our sins, what a beautiful articulation of the gospel. While that is absolutely true, even that statement is usually vastly misunderstood, even by those who might give that answer. What I mean by this is that the general idea is, very often within our circles, very often found among professing believers in Jesus Christ, that Jesus forgives your sin so that you can keep on living the way that you're living. In other words, there's no thought of actually being affected in the daily life. That there's no idea that an actual relationship with God would thoroughly and radically alter one's lifestyle. I mean, we don't think this way in any part of life. I mean, if two people get married, that relationship radically alters their daily life. Things are going to be different. If you just said, yeah, I'm married, and you go on living in the way that you did before you were married, before that relationship, something's desperately wrong. People would question, do you really understand what marriage is about? Are you really married? Well, oftentimes the idea is put forth that Jesus simply takes care of our sins so we can just go on living as if nothing ever changed in our life. That we somehow gain this relationship with the God who spoke the world into existence and it has no effect on our life at all. There's no sense, it seems today, of how we need Jesus for more than merely getting into heaven when we die. And so as we see in our text here this evening, and as you heard in the reading of some of those other ones, and we could go multiple places in the Bible to show this, when we are united to Jesus Christ by faith, brethren, do you see here, look at this. We get an abundance of blessing and benefit. This is not a one-dimensional salvation, but rather we get an abundance of blessings and benefits that touch the very areas of our life in which we have substantial and radical need. Jesus doesn't come in and just solve one issue. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. Okay, Jesus does that for you. Yes, He does. But He does many more things There is a glorious package of benefit that flows to us now from our Savior Jesus Christ. We are ignorant. We are foolish. And thus Jesus is given to us as our wisdom. We are lawbreakers. We have not done what God requires of us. And thus Jesus is given to us as our righteousness. We are sinful. We are sinful and broken people. And therefore Jesus is given to us as our sanctification. We are made whole and we are made holy again in Him. We're born under the wrath of God. We're born in bondage to sin and death. And so Jesus is given as our redemption. Our release from that former slavery. We are guilty in light of God's law, and therefore we receive that verdict of justification in Him. We're guilty before the tribunal of God, but Christ becomes our justification. And we are far off from the family of God, having become estranged and orphaned by our own rebellion, and therefore we receive adoption back into the family of God because of our union with Jesus Christ. And we become, we not just become in that sense, we now are the children of God in Him. You see, because our need is so great, and our need is so multifaceted, God has provided a salvation that is great and multifaceted. Everything that we need, He has lodged in Jesus Christ. He doesn't merely forgive our trespasses. He also fulfills the righteousness of the law in our place. He doesn't just give us a ticket to heaven. He transforms us and He makes us ready and He makes us fit for heaven and sanctification. He doesn't just give you some fire insurance that you cash in at the end of your life, but He brings you now. He brings you into the family of God by adopting you as a son or a daughter of His love. These are some of the many benefits that we receive from our relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts now. It covers everything. And it lasts for eternity. If you haven't yet embraced Jesus Christ as He is offered in the gospel, then may it be that today is the day of your salvation. If you were to call out to Him now, if you were to trust Him now for your salvation, your life of blessing and benefit in Jesus Christ begins now. And it continues on throughout all eternity. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom all of Your promises are yes and amen. Father, we thank You that everything that concerns life and godliness can be found in Him. We thank You, O God, that You have made Him our wisdom,
our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Father, forgive us for a truncated view and for diminishing in the way that we think and in the way that we live, for diminishing the blessings and benefits that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, please expand our hearts and minds to have a grand and vast view of the salvation that you've granted us in Him. And may we revel and love the life of salvation that we have now with communion with our current Savior, Jesus. Father, teach us more what it means to be in relationship with you through your Son. And may our lives bear fruit to your glory, that we truly are united to Him, that your work of redemption and salvation has happened now, and you are continuing it to the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our Savior. We praise Him tonight and call out to you in His name. Amen.